Welcome to the John Leonetti Show. Please hold while we connect your call.
Hey, I'm on the phone with Alan Hunt right now, dear friend of mine. We're going to be talking about the fourth quarter of your life. I'm coming out into the second half of my life right now, which means the fourth quarter is in the peripheries. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe this video with all your friends, especially those that might be entering the fourth quarter of their life as well.
If you would like to sponsor one of our calls, email us at thejohnleonettishow@gmail.com. And now, for your listening pleasure, The John Leonetti Show, calling all Catholics. Enjoy.
The fourth quarter guy.
How are you, John Leonetti?
I'm good. How are you, brother?
I am fantastically well, man. It's good to be with you.
I love catching up with you. You know that. And I tell you, the fourth quarter guy thing, we haven't talked a lot about this. I'm not there yet.
I didn't get your permission, did I?
You know, I just entered the third quarter. That's 40, right?
You just came back out of the locker room, hands off the field, quarter beginning.
Halftime is over for me. And I'm in the third. I was actually thinking about that a little bit ago, probably like 2 weeks ago, when I was sitting in mass. I was like, I'm in the third quarter. I'm in Allen's third quarter of the game.
Yep, that's right.
So what's
like, that's, you know, yeah, and the way I define it in the book is your third quarter, John, is when you're really in your prime. You know, you've been building you're growing in that first quarter, 0 to 20. You're kind of developing and building in your second quarter, 20 to 40. And 40 to 60 is when you're in your prime. You're enjoying that. You're maximizing that. You're leveraging that. So you're starting your prime, man. You're not just in your third quarter. You're starting your prime, John.
So this is prime. 30s isn't prime.
Nope. Prime is 40 to 60 because you're still building in that, you know, that 30s. The 20s and 30s is when you're really kind of building and you're making those key decisions about family and marriage and careers and companies and jobs and faith and that kind of stuff. And so you're kind of putting all that together. And now it should be close to being in place.
They say 70 is the new 30. Have you heard that?
Yeah, my mom was a math teacher. And 70 is 70, John.
It's not. I mean, it's not the new 30.
We can put lipstick on the pig, but it's still 70, bro. And
so, you know, so for the third quarter, go ahead.
I mean, and I think that's our culture is just so scared of aging, and we kind of put people over 60 in a ghetto over there and say, just kind of keep to yourselves.
Yeah.
We don't really want to hear from you. We'd like you to be invisible, but be sure and send money. And you know, the whole point of our fourth quarter work is to help people discover God has something really bold and special in store for you in the fourth quarter if you're actually listening and paying attention instead of retreating and declining.
What were you seeing in order to make the fourth quarter kind of a thing, right? What were you seeing of people that were in the fourth quarter? Was it like just kind of packing up or ready to go? No more life to be lived? I've been there, done that?
Yeah, it was kind of a combo. One was, you know, in creating this, it was really designed to be a gift to the church because our faith and really church teaching and the saints have a lot to say about aging and even what it means to die a good, happy death. And those kinds of things scare us in 21st century America. We want to deny that and defy that. But, you know, life's terminal. And the average American lives to be just under 80. And so, and the church has an enormous amount to say about aging and in particular what it means to die a good happy death. So that was number one. Number two is we were seeing all these folks, a lot of the most active people in parishes oftentimes are people in their fourth quarters for all kinds of reasons, and the church has been saying very little to them, and often just sort of ignoring them. And you know, in corporate America, once you turn 50, they're oftentimes kind of shunning you out as well. And so we felt sort of this silent yearning for, does my life still have meaning? Do I still have value, or am I now that I'm no longer this productive economic engine, and I'm in this different season, and I'm heading into winter, as Billy Graham used to say? Does my life still have meaning and purpose, or is it kind of over? And so that's what kind of propelled us to begin to kind of work on this.
I'd say, I mean, it was easy over 5 years ago, but I remember distinctly having a conversation with a guy, and he said, you know, he said, I'm about to retire. And I was like, oh, congratulations. And it was like a death sentence for him. It wasn't congratulations. Like, he was scared out of his mind. He's like, he was even talking about kind of losing his identity, right? This is who I've been. And all of a sudden it's like, now who am I going to be? This was, I mean, easily over 5 years ago, but that that
Oh, that's the
conversation
reality. I mean,
stuck.
that's epidemic, John, because I mean, two quick examples. One is I was talking in the fourth quarter to a group of about, I don't know, 100, 150 guys at a parish a month or three ago. Guy comes up afterward. He said, "I just turned 60. I'm a senior, whatever it is, senior executive vice president of some big accounting firm, KPMG or Ernst & Young, one of those." And he said, and I'm sitting here listening to you, and I go, "Oh, crap. I've invested my whole life in this, and all this is going to be coming to an end here. What's next? What's my life about? Who am I?" It's like, you know, everything's been about this, and that, you know, and this is getting ready to be over. And we were seeing that across the board from people that just felt like, you know, they everybody has this big image of retiring. And then they would get to it and they go, "Well, you know, I haven't really actually given any thought to what's on the other side of this." And so we just kind of avoid the term retiring because for a lot of people, fourth quarter is going to involve work. It may be for pay or not for pay, but it's still going to involve work. It's just going to take on a different texture, meaning, and substance to it.
So is it a program, this fourth quarter? What are you setting people with? Just a book? How does it work?
No, it's, you know, well, first of all, it's a conversation starter is the goal. You know, we've got the two books, The Fourth Quarter of Your Life and No Regrets. I've got a free 5-day email course that kind of helps people begin dreaming and envisioning their fourth quarter. I do a number of different retreats, have a couple other people that do retreats in parishes, post a lot on LinkedIn and YouTube around this. Really the goal, because I'm in my own fourth quarter and I'm not trying to work full time, I'm not trying to scale. I'm just trying to kind of have a conversation that people in our culture are yearning to have that nobody else really seems to be doing. There's a lot of people that help you plan the finances of your retirement, but we're really trying to kind of help you figure out how to live boldly, how to live intentionally, and how to finish strong in the fourth quarter.
That grind. I mean, as you said, I'm kind of, in the middle of it right now. But for some people, it can be scary to go away, right? Because that's all they've known, and so it's just kind of this whole new life. I love what you're doing though, because you're just telling people now God's not done with you yet. There's a lot more to life to be lived.
Yeah, there's all kinds of possibilities and dreams if you know, again, the tendency once you hit your fourth quarter is to start retreating and shrinking your life and only hanging out with the same people and doing the same things. And all of our research and all the science around aging is to push back on that and do the opposite. Try some new things, develop some new talents, habits, and skills. Stretch yourself, meet some new people, put yourself in some settings that you ordinarily wouldn't do. And if you're listening to God, if you're spending enough time in the presence of God, you're going to discover all kinds of things that probably either weren't there in the first three quarters or just lying dormant that he's ready to birth in you in the third quarter.
How much
I mean,
death
in the fourth
talk
quarter.
do you go into?
How much death
Yeah,
talk?
talk about death.
In terms of what regard?
It's like helping people maybe not be so scared of it, or even prepare for it, or are you just not interested with that? It's like just live the rest of your life the way God
No, yeah,
wants
we
and.
do. Yeah, no, we, yeah. I mean, they go hand in hand, you know, because if you're going to live the fourth quarter, I mean, if you have any wherewithal or realistic spirit in your body at all, you realize death is out there. I mean, it really is out there. And I can have plastic surgery and get hair plugs and have my facelift, but still, death is right there. And so, to really let once you actually accept that, I mean, there's great studies around this. I mean, Saint Benedict was on this way, 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 way long ago when he said, "Keep death before your eyes every day." And so there's a great study from the University of Kentucky that shows that people who remind themselves 30, 60 seconds a day, "Hey, I really am going to die," actually have a much more higher satisfaction with their lives, vitality about their lives, and contentment with their lives because it really does bring things into focus. So it
Really?
helps you live better, but it also helps you not fear that because it kind of helps you keep preparing along the ways. I know I'm going to get there. And you know, one of our keys is to make sure you give a deep yes to God, because that's going to take away this fear of death, and it's also going to help you clarify what you really want to be about in your fourth quarter.
I gotta read your book. I haven't read it yet.
Well, you know, you're just coming down the locker room, man. You just got your Gatorade.
Was a tough first half.
Yeah, that's
Tough.
right.
I gave my all coming out for
Yeah.
the second half here. I got to
Yeah.
finish strong,
We had a
you know?
couple injuries in the first half, or you know, we're trying to figure out how we're going to patch. We're trying to patch this thing together for the third quarter.
That my college football team that I cheer for, they say is a second half team, so that's where I'm going to go with. But
That's exactly
hey,
right.
I
That's
love
exactly
catching up
right.
with you, man. I love your work. I love what you do. I love you, man. It's just you being a friend like you are is awesome and a great mentor to me. So God bless you,
You
brother.
are one of the greats, John Leonetti, and I give thanks for you, my brother.
Before we let you go, how can we pray for you?
I'm having fun in my fourth quarter, and my wife and I have kind of downshifted our lives.
Nice.
We're living a much more private life as opposed to a public life, and we've got some family situations that are requiring a good bulk of our time and energy and attention. So just praying for my family, I'd be really grateful.
We'll do that when we get off. One memorare for the Allen Hunt family. How about that?
Amen.
God bless you, brother. We'll talk soon, okay?
Yep, God bless. Thanks,
Thanks,
John.
Alan. Bye.
See you.